Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's class is titled Serving or Servant. And I'd like to introduce this with the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga, chapter 1, page 9b. And the Gemara shares a statement between Ben Hey and Hillel, the famous Hillel. The famous Hillel, to which a man came and said, "Tell me the whole Torah on one foot." And what was his response?
Love thy neighbor as thyself. All the rest is commentary. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm going to quote it in Aramaic. And the reason I'm going to quote it in Aramaic is there's a few similar quotes, and each one has a specific meaning. So Hillel said, "Ma da'alach sani, what you hate, l'chavrach le'isave, don't do to your friend." The famous Hillel, he has a discussion with Ben Hehe. So Moshe Mendel asks, that's a weird name, Hey Hey.
So there have been Bag Bag.
Ah! And Bag Bag and Hey Hey, some people say is the same person. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Beis Gimel is how much in Hebrew?
Bet Gimel.
Five.
Bet and Gimel is five. Hey is how much?
Five.
So Bag Bag and Hey Hey is the same exact thing.
He's hey when they're trying to get his attention.
But what's fascinating is why was he called Ben Hey? Because he was a convert. And so that means he sources himself back to Avram and Sarah. We know a convert, they say their father is Avram, their mother is Sarah. Avram had which letter added to his name?
Hey.
Hey. Sarah had which letter?
Hey.
Ben Hey, Ben Bag Bag, all one person, a convert. So Ben Hey and Ben Hey and Hillel, they have a discussion. And here it goes. The Pasuk shares with us in Malachi, V'shavtem u'ra'isem ben tzadik l'rasha ben eved alikim asher lo yavadai. The Pasuk tells us, Hashem, you're going to come and you're going to look at the difference between tzaddik and a rasha, but the pasuk continues and it says, Hashem, you're going to see the difference between an oved elokim. Oved means what?
Servant.
A servant. Oved elokim la'asher lo avado. What's asher, which? Lo avado.
Doesn't serve.
Okay, so the pasuk says Hashem's going to come and see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Someone that's a servant of God and someone that's not a servant of God. That's the pasuk. What's the obvious question on it? It's repetitious. What? A tzaddik is a servant of God. A rasha is not a servant of God. So why are you repeating yourself and saying that Hashem's going to see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, a servant of God and not a servant of God? Just say clearly, once, Hashem's going to come and see the difference between a tzaddik and rasha. Why the repetition? This is Ben Hehe's question to Hillel. Hainu tzaddik, hainu oved elokim, hainu rasha, hainu asher le'avadai. The righteous is the same as he who serves God. And the wicked is the same as he that does not serve God. So Hillel responds, Amar lei, Hillel says no. There's a tzaddik and there's a rasha. But within the tzaddik, there's two types of tzaddikim. There's an oved elokim, there's a tzaddik that serves God. And then there is asher lo yavadai, there is a tzaddik that does not serve God. How could you have a tzaddik that does not serve God? What does that mean? So Hillel continues and he shares like this. He says, this is a famous Gemara. You've all heard this quote. What is the definition of learning a lot of times in the Talmud?
What?
When you learn something thoroughly in the Talmud, how many times does the Talmud expect you to learn it?
100.
If you learn something 100 times, that's called learning. When was the last time you learned something 100 times?
All the time.
There you go. If you ask me, I'll tell you, I don't know if I've learned anything 100 times. But the Gemara says that even if Melissa learned something 100 times, it's nothing. No, Melissa, I want to tell you, you're still, you're not a tzaddik. Someone who learns 100 times is nothing. He's not a servant of God. Who's a servant of God? Someone that learns 101 times. One extra time, all of a sudden, you're a servant of God. So Ben Hehe responds to Hillel and he says, "Mishum chad zimna kari lei lei avadai." So if you serve God one more time, all of a sudden you're a servant of God. But 100 times is nothing. Imagine you go and tell this to the students in school. 100 times is nothing. Boom, you lost all of them. 100 times is nothing. 101 times is everything. Before I tell you the example, Hillel gives to answer the question. Could anyone think of a scenario where 100 times is nothing, 101 is everything? Now, it's not important the amount of times, but the point Hillel is saying, and could anyone prove this, to do something normal, you pay $1. To do something abnormal, you pay $2, you pay double. If everyone learned 100 times, it's normal, anyone have an example they could share about this? Okay, Hillel gives an example. And I like buying toys. My most recent toy is a copy of the coins from the times of the Gemara. The coins from that time period have a lot to share with us. Very fascinating, the history behind the coins and how in the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Jewish people actually took the Roman coins themselves and just shard off the Roman faces. They couldn't afford their own. They just literally removed and put on their own coins. So this coin here is the famous coin that we learn of at the dinner. And we'll pass it around.
Is that the one that has the base Hamikdash?
Unfortunately, I don't have the copy from Bar Kokhba. I have the Roman copy. The one, but this coin here is the exact size and look of the famous dinar. You've heard of the dinar in the Gemara, Dr. Yosef? Dinar, it's a famous, it's a very normal number. The dinar and zuz, they're interchangeable.
It's
same coin.
It's a Persian coin.
Persian coin, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And Hillel turns to Ben Hehe and he says like this, and I'll quote it to you. Let's go and learn from donkey drivers. Asara Parsi bezuza. Chad asar Parsi betray zuzi. To go 10 parsa, measurement of distance. To go 10 parsa, you go ahead and you pay 1 zuz. To go 11 parsa, you pay 2. You're paying double the amount for the one more mile, we'll say. So he says clearly, if it's normal for donkeys to go 10 parsa, so you just pay them 1 zuz, but the second you're making a donkey go further than he's normally used to, you have to pay double. And the same thing, if we are used to learning something 101 times, that's nothing. We're not called a servant of God. We're only going to be called a servant of God, Hillel says to Ben Hehe, if we do something abnormal 101 times. And that is why today, whenever you hear the quote that to learn something well, you need to learn it 101 times, know that the Gemara didn't mean literally you need to learn it 101 times. The Gemara meant that in order to learn something well, you have to learn it past your normal energy. In the times of the Gemara, they learned something 100 times. So for them it was 101. If for us it's normal to learn something 4 times, then the 5th time is what's going to make us a servant of God. Any questions on the Gemara in Chagiga? Any questions, Sandra? Good. I'm sure it's crystal clear now.
Just a quick prompt. When you celebrate Passover in Babylonia, you talk about 2 zuzim. That's a zuz.
Yes.
That tells you right away what the place.
Yes. And
to
I'm actually happy to. You could just pass it all around. Here.
The song at the end of the Seder is
Zuzim. Okay. Let's now connect this all into chapter. We're going to be beginning today a new chapter. Let's connect this all to chapter 15 of the Tanya, page 64. Now that we've explained what the Beinoni is, the Beinoni is someone who is constantly fighting. He's in a constant fight against his nature. With the above in mind, page 64, the beginning of chapter 15, with the above in mind, we may now understand the text. And you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. And so, as we mentioned, the Gemara says it's repetitious. Why are you repeating yourself? If you say Hashem's going to see the difference between a tzaddik and Rasha, obviously He's going to see the difference between someone who serves God and someone who does not serve God. The difference between one who serves God and a righteous man, tzaddik, is that the one who serves God... I need to share something amazing before we go further. The Gemara only told us... The Gemara only shared that there's a tzaddik in Russia, and within the tzaddik, there's two types of a tzaddik. There's a tzaddik who is an oved elikim, serves God, he goes beyond his normal, and there's a tzaddik that does not serve God. The Gemara explained that with the example of the Sheikh Shel Chamarim, the donkey drivers. But what we're going to do now in Tanya is we're going to explain that even within the tzaddik, there's a tzaddik. And the other two levels are referring actually to Beinoni. So the pasuk is telling us Hashem's going to see it, the tzaddik. He's going to see the he's going to see the rasha, and Hashem's also going to see the two types of a Beinoni. If you're becoming a doctor, if you're a doctor, you've already reached your goal. You're now a doctor. Before you were a doctor, you're becoming a doctor. If someone is a servant of God, then they're not serving God. If someone is a servant of God, then they're not serving God. They've already reached the level of servant. A king, once he's become a king, he's reached what he is. You don't say he's working to become a king. You have some people that are serving and some people that are a servant. Let's see this inside and we'll try and put it together. The difference between an oved elikim, one who serves God, and a righteous man, a tzaddik, is that one who serves an oived God in the active present, he's serving God, is one who is engaged in the active service, namely the struggle against his evil nature in an effort to gain mastery over it and to banish it from the small city. What is the small city? Himself, that it should not vest itself in the organs of the body. It entails much effort and toil to wage constant war with it. This is the Beinoni. Someone serving God, that means he's in the middle of an active war. The Beinoni is actively fighting. It's a real war. It's a constant battle. Every day is a new story. You wake up in the morning, there's something else. That is the Beinoni. The tzaddik, however, is designated, he's not serving God, he's a servant of God, which is a title already earned, as the title sage. Once you're a sage, once you're a Talmud Chacham, or once you're a Chacham, a wise man, so you're not learning anymore, you're now a sage. You've already reached that level. Or king. is bestowed on one who has already become a sage or king. So is this person the tzaddik, who has already effected and completely abolished his task of waging war against the evil in him, with the result that he has expelled it, and it has disappeared, and his heart has become void within him. In a sense, it's the Beinoni is on a greater level. He's a servant of God. He's an active service. I think those words are fantastic. The Beinoni is an active service. You know, they say that when parents unfortunately have a child that's not well, they could have many children, but they have one child that's not well, very often their greatest love is for that child. The child that struggles and has challenges, very often a parent has a greater love for that child. And perhaps that's what we're learning here. Hashem's love for someone who is in active service is tremendous. And perhaps, not perhaps, it's a fact actually. We say that b'makom shebaalei teshuvah umdim, in a place where someone who's coming closer to Judaism stands, ain't tzaddik amor yecholim la'amod. Even the greatest tzaddik can't reach there. So Hashem's love and connection with the Baalei Teshuvah, and perhaps that would be similarly a reference for the Beinoni, someone who's in an active service, there's a constant fight, Hashem's love is, in a way, even greater. So we have the tzaddik and we have the Beinoni. Are there any questions? Before we continue, I want to discuss what it means to serve God. What is the Hebrew word for service?
Avodah.
Avodah. What does avodah mean?
Work or prayer.
What's the definition of work? It's a famous word. I don't know if you Google it. What do they say? What's the definition of work?
Devotion.
Devotion?
Yeah.
The physics definition of work?
No, I want to know the linguistic definition.
Always an engineer.
Avodah comes from the word ibud orot. Ibud orot means to take skin and from an animal and make it into leather. When you take skin and you make it into leather, there's a tremendous transformation and hard work that goes from point A to point B. Avodah means hard work. Someone who is not working hard is not doing avodah. And to be even more clear, avodah means to do something against your will. If you are doing something natural, that is not avodah. You're not at work. You're doing something you love.
So that's why a tzaddik is no longer in the service anymore.
Exactly. The tzaddik is not anymore in the active service. He's not doing something against his will. He's not hurting himself. The Beinoni is doing something against himself. He's in the active service.
The word also shows up in labor Zionism. It means physical work.
Physical work, fair enough.
So when we're praying, it's work.
If we're going against ourselves, yes. Yes, 100%. Not only, could I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
We say in the Shema that the words of the Torah are missing me, but the Gemara is coming. The Gemara says, "Ezu hi avodah." Oh, sorry. The pasuk says that la'avdei b'chol levavchem. You should serve Hashem with all your heart. How do you serve with your heart? Service with your heart. Ulavdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem. We say it in the Shema. So the Gemara in Tainis says, "Eilu hi avodah shebelev." What type of service is this that the Torah is telling us? Serve Hashem with your heart. And the Gemara answers, Zu tefillah. This is tefillah. So certainly tefillah is an avodah, 100%. It's something where we're going against ourselves, certainly. Yes, good point. So we...
What about the other two parts of that? Well, your soul and ruchum adech. What's the difference with those?
On a very technical level, Rashi says that you need to serve Hashem with all your might, all your money, and all your heart. B'chol modech is all your money. I mean, you have to be willing to give up everything for Hashem. Okay. So now we understand the difference between a tzaddik and an oyved alekim. An oyved alekim is someone who's serving God. A tzaddik is someone who's already, he's gotten past the level of service. It's not hard work anymore. And now we're going to learn that within the Beinoni itself, there are two levels. Are you familiar with chapter 1? We said that there is a tzaddik that is good. There's a tzaddik that is bad. There's a Russia that has good, a Russia that has bad. We said there are two types of tzaddikim, two types of rishayim, and today we're going to learn that there are also two types of a beinoni. What are the two types? There is a beinoni that serves God and a beinoni that does not serve God. What does that mean? Based on what we said, it's clear. You could be a beinoni. You could be keeping every single word of Torah and mitzvot. But if it's something natural to you, you're not a servant of God. What does it mean natural? We're going to give two examples. Some people, they love philosophy. They love learning. They have a thirst to learn. So when they're learning Torah, we're not calling them a servant of God. They're low avodah. They're not a servant of God. They're enjoying what they're doing. They're not going against themselves. That's one example we're going to give. Another example we're going to give is, unfortunately, if a man has a lust for a woman, so sometimes could be a man is just very cold-blooded and he doesn't care. So if that's the case, again, we're not going to give him credit and say that he worked on himself. We're just going to say that he's low avado. It's a natural thing. Let's see it inside. In the category of Beinoni, page 64, right-hand column, where it says one shvat, in the category of Beinoni, there are also to be found two levels. Namely, one who serves God, an Oved Elokim, v'asher lo avado, and one who does not serve him. Yet, the one who does not serve him is not wicked, yet the latter is not wicked, for never in his life did he commit even a minor transgression. If we're talking about a Russia, don't call him not a servant of God, call him a Russia. When we say that to someone that's low avado, is not serving God, he's a Beinoni, he never sinned, but he's not serving God because he didn't put in anything to make sure he doesn't sin. For never in his life did he commit even a minor transgression. And moreover, he fulfilled all the commandments which were possible for him to fulfill, including the study of Torah, which balances everything else. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The study of Torah is equal to everything else. His mouth never ceasing from study. Meaning you could have a person, he's in the Beit Midrash the entire day, and yet he is low avado, no credits. Why? The reason he is referred to as low avado, one who does not serve him, is that he does not wage any battle against his evil disposition. I think this is a very important idea for us to all know. Each one of us, we only need to care where we're up to. Right, I have this fight every day with my students. They're all worried about each other. Him, what? I tell them, worry about yourself. Where are you holding? Don't worry if he got 100 or if he got a 50. Whatever you could do. And that's what we're saying here. You could have the greatest Torah scholar, but he's not a servant of God. He's not even serving God. And he's not... On the other hand, if you have even a minor trial, a minor test and you overpower it, you are greater than that Torah scholar sitting the entire day. You have gone against your nature. You are serving God.
Rabbi.
Yes, please.
What's the difference between the Beinoni who doesn't serve Hashem and the Tzaddik who doesn't serve Hashem? Because it seems like a Beinoni, by the definition here, means that he has no, there's no struggle, which is very similar to the definition of the Tzaddik, that he no longer has the struggle either.
Thank you for clarifying that. I should have mentioned that earlier. There's no tzaddik that is not a servant of God. Tzaddikim, I want to make one clarification. The Gemara, when it's the Gemara says that there is a tzaddik that is a servant of God and a tzaddik that is not a servant of God, the Gemara is referring to the Beinoni. Because remember, if we've learned a bit earlier that to the Gemara, we call a righteous person someone who only did 49% sins. And in the Gemara, the Rosh is someone who did 51% sins. And the Beinoni is someone who is 50-50. So when the Rosh said that there's a tzaddik that's a servant of God and a tzaddik not, in this scenario is a reference to what we're discussing, a Beinoni. When we mentioned earlier, we said that the tzaddik is lo avado. The tzaddik is not a servant of God. Yes, because
you said he is a servant of God, but he's not serving.
Oh, correct. Yeah. Correct. So what's your question? Remind me.
Just we're talking about the tzaddik in two levels. And we're and specifically the Beinoni, one who doesn't serve Hashem because there's no effort.
Yes.
That sounds very similar to the description of a tzaddik who no longer has...
You know something? I don't know the answer. It's a good question. What is the difference between the Beinoni who's not a servant of God and a tzaddik? On a simple level, the Beinoni who does not serve God still has a tremendous fight within him. But he naturally is able to win over it.
Okay.
The example that's given for this Beinoni is when you have, my brother Chaim and I, my older brother, we used to always fight. And I can tell you, he was older than me, bigger, and he always won. And I knew he would always win, but we always fought. And that is the level of the tzaddik, that is the level of the Beinoni that's not a servant of God. The Beinoni is not a servant of God. We know who's going to win the fight. We know that godliness is going to win because it's naturally a little stronger, but there's still an active fight within him. The tzaddik, there's no fight within him.
So, Rabbi, one time, I'm trying to think of the fellow who wrote about it, was writing about free will. And in explaining free will, he was saying, unless there's a struggle, it's not really free will, it's just your natural preference or tendency.
Yes.
It has to be a struggle.
Yes. So you're asking, if the Beinoni naturally is not having a fight, so there's no free will, simply speaking.
He's just doing what he wants, it's coming naturally.
So commentators ask that question, but they share that the bottom line is, everyone loves their body more than anything else. So even someone who naturally loves to learn, at the end of the day, a physical desire is going to come. His physical wants will come prior. So there certainly is free will over here. He certainly has to make an active decision, but it's basically a natural decision. When it comes to him, it's not a complicated one, but the decision still exists. You know, on that topic, and I mentioned to Sandra that this morning I was learning with my students, what a tzaddik is, and does a tzaddik have free will? But one of the topics that came up, I may have shared it. There was a Kohen Gadol I share this, but I'll share it again. There was a Kohen Gadol who served in the temple for 80 years. And every time you go into the Holy of Holies, if you're not a true Kohen Gadol, you would die. And for 80 years he went inside, meaning he was a righteous man. And yet after 80 years, he became a heretic. What does this tell us? That even someone born with the greatest soul, with the greatest power, that doesn't mean they can't slip. Even someone who naturally, perhaps, it looks as if this is easy and simple for him, he still has free choice. And unfortunately, we have stories where this has happened before. So back to our discussion about the Beinoni who serves God and the Beinoni who does not serve God. We're saying at the bottom of page 64, right-hand column, that the reason he is referred to as one who does not serve him, God, is that he does not wage any battle against his evil disposition in order to vanquish it, evil, by means of the divine light. This Beinoni that is not a servant of God, he doesn't need this divine light that is shining the divine within the divine soul. He doesn't need it. And the abode of the divine soul is in the brain. And Mayachalat al Halev, the brain has predominance over the heart, as explained above. The ideas we discussed previously in previous chapters, that there's a special energy for holiness and the heart and the brain controls the heart. This Beinoni doesn't need it. He has a natural disposition, for his disposition does not confront him at all in an attempt to distract him from study and prayer. And he is consequently never obliged to wage war against it. It's natural. And therefore, he's considered someone not serving God. It's a very, very, it's a very powerful point. You could be the holiest man, but if this is who you were born to be, if it's natural, then you're not a servant of God.
And that's not a negative thing either.
It is negative. Because...
But if that's your nature, you're born that way.
It's negative. No, it's negative. Okay, let me share a story and then I'll share. One of the Rebbes was asked, what blessing would you like? What type of blessing would you like? And he said, I'd like a blessing that learning should be easy for me. It should be easy. Mm-hmm. And later on, he said he regretted it. Because there's nothing greater than Torah study that comes with toil. There's nothing greater than avodah, than working hard. So someone that is born naturally, he actually, perhaps, is at a disadvantage that he's going to have to work even harder to go against his nature. Whatever level you're at, there's always a greater level. Don't worry, no one is ever stuck. Everyone can become a servant of God. Don't say, oh, for me, no one's in trouble. There's always a greater level. But we're saying the simple actions of being a Jew, of learning Torah, doing mitzvot, if you look at everyone equal, if you look at everyone in the same shul, all doing the same mitzvah, they're all getting different rewards. They're all getting different energy from Hashem. Because one of them, some of them it's natural, some of them it's not natural. Some of them have a tremendous fight. They're going... Gershon, that makes sense?
No.
Yes.
Following though on his question then, maybe we shouldn't feel so bad that it's such a struggle.
Completely.
Huh.
Completely. You should not feel bad that it is... You should not feel bad that it is such a struggle.
But you should continue.
We're going to learn later that Hashem's... For some people, Hashem, all he wants is for them to constantly try. He's not looking for them to succeed. That means some people, their ultimate mission in life is just to constantly fight. Doesn't sound easy. It's not easy. It's just to constantly try. The succeeding is not important to Hashem. And that's why Hashem has tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, they've succeeded. We have people who've succeeded. But then there are people that their full task in life, the Beinoni, is to constantly fight.
Well, what is What is succeeding?
Succeeding means there's no fight.
Okay, but the act of trying,
yeah,
regardless of whether you have a goal that you're struggling for, but the act of trying and repeatedly doing it, even if you don't achieve whatever goal it is, changes who you are.
Absolutely.
So there is success in that action.
I appreciate that. 100% correct. Someone who tries, he's obviously succeeding, but he may not succeed in what his goal was.
Oh, that's true.
You know, and that's, for example, in our school now, where we joined an international contest, and for many students, it's very hard, and they really are not able to achieve the bar that the international contest necessitates. And I try sharing with them this point. They don't really take it from me, but I try sharing with them that Hashem doesn't care whether you join the international competition. Not only that, and I share this very point, there are some children in our school who are going to join the international competition, and yet to Hashem, the children that did not join but tried really hard are have accomplished more. Some children have a tremendous brain, and for them to join the international spelling bee, for them to join the international chidon, it's a natural disposition. It's something, and other children, they may not get there, but they are servants of God.
Is the spelling bee in Hebrew?
Absolutely.
It's harder than
there must be
So does that go along with stress then? is it not a surprise that it's stressful and to study Torah? I find it very stressful.
Study of Torah is stressful?
Yes. Difficult and stressful.
Well, then you fulfill what the Gemara says. The Gemara says people in Torah become weak.
Come what?
Become weak.
Oh, yeah.
Says a Torah mateshes kocho, but the same Gemara in another place says that if you're sick, keep on studying Torah; it's going to make you feel better. So Torah has all qualities, but Torah can certainly be stressful. Yes, yes.
I think there's an important converse to this. Speaking as somebody who spent my life trying to be a Benoni in education. I don't think I was ever a tzaddik because a lot of the kids fell out of the wayside. But the point I tried to make the two of them always and didn't always succeed, I can guarantee you're going to fail. Don't try. Continue to struggle and you will benefit by the struggle. You will know whether or not you succeeded, and it will occur to you that because you continue to struggle, you succeeded. If you give up, you will most certainly fail.
Correct. I think one of the things we struggle with as a society, though, is that that's not the way we really look at people. At the end of the day...
No, you've got to be a winner all the time.
At the end of the day, correct. In our society, if you're not a winner, you're nobody. But we need to know that Hashem really looks at us that way. To the person to who it counts, Hashem really is looking at us for who we are.
Sports in this society that people look up to so much, you're in the play, you get to the championship, and you are playing the other team, and you lose. You're crap. Well, wait a minute. You were in the championship round. How can you be crap?
Number two.
Let's go ahead and give some examples of people who, so to say, are not servants of God. Page 66, left-hand column, third line.
56. Put some water.
That's what did it.
Oh. Sorry.
Went down the wrong way. Oh, raise
your hand. Excuse me.
Thus, for example, is the case of one who is by nature a very serious student because he is organically so disposed. Okay, so someone who is learning Torah the whole day, but that's the way Hashem naturally created him. He's not a servant of God. And is likewise free from conflict with regard to sexual desire by reason of his frigid nature. He doesn't have these desires because just the makeup of his body, it doesn't come to him.
It's also possible he learned by experience.
And similarly with the other mundane pleasures, wherein he naturally lacks any feeling of enjoyment. Naturally, this person, it doesn't mean anything to him. Many physical pleasures. Some people, they love camping is everything to them. Other people, they really don't want to go camping and everything. So this person, he's naturally a more timid person. Hence, he does not need to concentrate so much on the greatness of God to consciously create a spirit of knowledge.
So, Rabbi, this sounds like the answer to the question, actually. The Beinoni.
Yes. Yes. So, who is the Beinoni who is not a servant of God? It's someone who's just following his natural makeup of his body, someone that's following who he naturally is.
Wait, I thought he is a servant, but he is not serving.
No, a servant is a tzaddik.
Okay.
A tzaddik is a servant. He's already past the serving. And within the serving itself, we have the Beinoni who is serving God.
Mm-hmm.
He's going against his nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Beinoni, who is not serving God. He's just following his natural tendency.
Okay.
So let's summarize where we are and we'll wrap it up with this. Now that we understand that the Beinoni is someone who is constantly at war with the good and bad within himself, so now we could know and explain what the Pasuk says, that there is a Rasha, there's a Tzaddik, there's a Rasha, there's someone who serves God and someone who does not serve God. And as the Gemara said, Ben Hey asked Hillel, it's all one thing. The servant of God is a Tzaddik, the person who does not serve God is a Rasha. No, not at all. You have a Tzaddik, someone who has no evil within him, you have a Rasha, who has active evil, and then you have a servant of God and someone who is not serving God. Both of them are a Beinoni. Within both of them, they make sure that the thought, speech, and action is fully devoted to God. But the question is, why is that happening? Are they a servant of God that they are breaking their natural tendencies? They're learning 101 times, that one more time, they're going against themselves. Or is it something natural? They're still a Beinoni. They're not sinning in their thought, speech, and action. But nonetheless, there's no struggle. Thank you. There's no struggle within them. So, it's a tough message, but it's a true message. A servant of God, someone serving God, is in a constant struggle. To go back to what you said, Sandra, it's a scary message, but it's the truth. The ultimate person serving God is in a constant struggle and is never happy. He's always happy, because Hashem says, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. But he's never really happy with where he is. He always knows he can reach further. So, should you ever be happy with where you are? You know, my wife's grandfather, I believe, was one day older than the Rebbe. I believe they were born one day apart. And it must have been around the year when he was 80. His name was Rabbi Uziel Chazanov. He was a shochet. And I think when he was 80, he came to the Rebbe and he said, I'm sorry, he was one day younger than the Rebbe. One day younger. When he was 80, he came to the Rebbe, he says, he's about to retire. So the Rebbe said, he says, look, when I retire, you retire. We have to constantly fight. And so, that's what it is. Yeah, any questions? Yes, Gershon.
Should one then make the conclusion, it might be erroneous, that if you don't naturally have the struggle to fulfill all the mitzvah, that you don't love Hashem as much as somebody who struggles, or there's no connection whatsoever?
That's a great question.
Or we can discuss that.
No, let's just take it for a moment here. Are there any thoughts about that? Gershon is saying that if you're not struggling, perhaps you don't truly love God. What do you think, Jonathan?
I think the whole point of everything we've read at this point is that the main expectation Hashem has of us that we, is the struggle to be better people. So the person that struggles, and even the comments you made earlier regarding the sick, example, the sick child. Yes, it's the person who struggles, the person who puts the effort. That's what Hashem appreciates.
With all our heart and all our might.
Yes. We would say that if you truly love God, then you're going to struggle. Because Hashem wants you to constantly come closer to Him. And if you truly love God, you want to constantly come closer to God. So someone who is, if someone is at a standstill, then there is a little of lack of love to Hashem. Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful evening. If I may be